You're listening to the Loyalty Minute, the show that helps you build better customer loyalty and more valuable user engagement with your host, Rob Gallo.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of the Loyalty Minute. I'm your host, Rob Gallo, and today I'm super eager and excited to chat with Ian Bauer. Ian is the founder of Graphic Rhythm. Pivoting from his role as a trained chef to creating a successful and innovative graphic design firm isn't easy, but Ian happily took on the challenge. He developed a passion for helping small business build customer confidence and loyalty through strong visual content, and he's here to share some of his valuable information that he learned along the way. Welcome to the show, Ian. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So for those who don't know who you are or Graphic Rhythm, maybe you could expand and give us some background.
Yeah, sure. So I own Graphic Rhythm, but it's actually not my first business. My first business was actually like selling on Amazon, like a Amazon FBA kind of thing. So buying products wholesale from brand owners and then selling them on Amazon. And that I actually started in my like spare time, nights and weekends, while I was the executive chef of a university. So I actually started out my whole career as a trained chef. I rose all the way up to a certified executive chef and ran a university kitchens for a few years. Then, started to build what I called my parachute, my exit plan. And that's how I got started. So, and then Graphic Rhythm kind of came along because of the Amazon FBA sellers are like a really tight-knit community. There's very strong networks of people chatting about stuff. And so basically my peers who were also doing this were seeing the type of design work that my company was doing. And they were like, hey, what do I have to pay you to do that for me? And for me, that was kind of like, okay, light bulb moment. And so I started Graphic Rhythm to serve that need from that community. And now we've grown into a full service design agency capable of everything from logos to videos to, websites, anything you really need, actually. So
and is it
it's kind of the brief one.
Is it specific to Amazon or would it
No, not at all. Our primary clients tend to fall into three buckets: Amazon sellers, marketing agencies or digital agencies that need us to, a lot of our clients have clients, if that's the best way to put it.
Right.
And so we're helping them achieve outcomes for their clients. And then the third one is small business owners that need help with their visual identity, with their daily design needs, whatever it happens to be.
Great stuff. Wow. So it's crazy how it comes from, it was a side hustle, I'm guessing, originally.
Right? Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
The FBA side, when you're doing the Amazon, what were you selling? Anything in particular?
So I still own that business. And so we sell in the grocery category and also in like men's health and beauty. So like hair care products, beard products, shaving, stuff like that.
Cool. All right. Well, so then you'll be able to definitely speak to loyalty, customer loyalty, brand loyalty. So the first question that I ask most guests is, what does loyalty mean to you, Ian, as a consumer? And if you can answer in the form of a story, so something that may have happened to you that kept you loyal to a brand, that would resonate with our listeners that they can kind of identify with.
Yeah. So to me, loyalty is if somebody feels bad going with somebody else for the thing that they typically do with you. That's loyalty. So if a good example would be like, one of our clients who typically works with us for all of their design needs, if they go off in the world and find, to find another graphic design company and they feel like they're betraying us, then they had loyalty to us. And now we need to figure out why we lost, like what we did to betray them, And I actually see this a lot in our work on Amazon and with Amazon sellers and with brands on Amazon. Amazon has this function called an Amazon storefront. So if you own a brand on Amazon, let's say like a aftershave brand, you can create a storefront where customers can go and see your products and what else you have for sale. And it's typically like a top of the funnel kind of thing. If you imagine like somebody searching for an aftershave, right? So they click on, they search aftershave, they click on a listing, they see the aftershave, they like, they maybe they buy it, but then they say, okay, I want to look at what else is there. So they click through the storefront and now they see there's also shaving cream and brushes and razors and stuff like that. And so that storefront to me, and then this is what we talk to our clients all the time, that storefront is a vehicle for brand loyalty because it's there, you're continuing to meet the needs of the customers that you're serving in that particular way, you know, by being there for them with other products and services.
I get you. So it's kind of like a brand extension beyond the first product that someone's looking for to be, if, obviously, if they liked your product in the first place, to be able to have them see other products and services that you have to offer, and they already are engaged with your brand, it makes it that much more likely that they'll continue to work with your brand.
Yeah. To me, I always say to our clients that customers want, and I'm going to use air quotes here, a guy, right? So think about it like, you know, your sink breaks or your plumbing breaks, you're like, I've got a guy for that, you know, or Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother. I've got a suit guy. I've got a guy for everything, you know? And so, but it's the same way in both the service world and also the product world, right? Like, this happens to me all the time. It really happens to me all the time where I go in search for a product in a particular product category, right? Because if you think about the work that a consumer does to, at least my perception is consumers do a lot of work, right? They're looking at reviews, they're looking at, you know, other websites, and, you know, they're scoping things out, especially with even higher end products. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of front end work to find a bike brand that you like, right? I'm very loyal to Giant Bikes, okay? Because they always have a bike that my children need right now in whatever stage of life they're in. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go through searching other bike brands, you know? And so, you know, if you're able to serve your customers with the thing that they need, then to me that increases their loyalty to you by just being there. Now you are their guy, you're their bike guy. Or as one of our clients said to me on a call that made me feel really good, which is, Ian, you're our design guy. You know, you're the guy we go to for all of our design needs. We're really counting on you. So
right.
That's how that goes, right?
And I'm assuming that your client that calls you his design guy wants to be a guy himself for whatever business he is that you're helping him build.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. You know, it's an interesting story too. I was looking up, I needed a plumber. And I looked up plumber near me, just like everybody does. And there's a guy that's got plumber near me as his URL. And I'm like, that's gold, right?
That's awesome.
So I called the guy and I said, listen, I got a problem. I got some low flow coming out of the shower head, but it's coming in good from the tub. And I don't know why. And he explained it to me over the phone. I mean, the guy took 10, 15 minutes, didn't charge me anything. I mean, he was gold. I mean, the guy really knew his stuff. And now I got a plumber guy. It's Jim.
There you go.
You know, if you're in West Palm Beach, look this guy up. So he's definitely double sharp when it comes to that. So let me ask you this then, Ian, as a marketing professional, so you have clients that you're looking to attract and retain, but what are some of the pain points that you have as a graphic designer of attracting and maintaining loyalty to your clients?
Well, the number one thing that's always really, really challenging with our work in particular is that it is subjective, right? And so what we think is a great design, you know, we may not see eye to eye with a client on that. Yeah. And so the things that impact our loyalty and our clients' loyalty to us, both good and bad, is how well we get them. That's a big, big thing. In fact, we spend most of our time optimizing that specific dimension of a relationship with a client, is how well we can first make sure we get them, two, communicate to them that we get them, and then three, make sure that and this is a cooking term. I'll use cooking terms all the time, but that it shows up on the plate is what I like to say. Like the finished result shows the work that we've done on that getting you thing. So our clients that feel like we get them are extremely loyal. Our clients that don't feel like we get them typically get refunded and don't come back. So You know, obviously that's why we work so hard on making sure we get our clients as quickly as possible.
And how long after the getting process do you continue to work with a client? Obviously in perpetuity, but you know, what do you think? Is it a short term, long term? What's your...
It's long term for sure. The payoff of building that relationship the right way from the beginning is enormous. You know, graphic design, especially in business, there's a perpetual need for it. And if you are consistently able to demonstrate that, hey, we're your team, we're your designer, we get you, we're going to do the thing that you need, not only does it help you continue to secure repeat business, but you also, it's like putting credit in the bank. You know, so if we, and this happened to us recently, we had a client who we have done an enormous amount of work for, right? But then we dropped the ball on one of the projects from that get you perspective, right? We delivered something and they were like, this is a complete mismatch. They are still loyal. And even more, they're loyal to the extent where like they want to help us improve our process, where it's not just like, hey, fix my project. Let me talk to you about why I think this project went wrong and how you could fix your processes so that this doesn't happen to somebody else. Mm. So they're bought into our success because we're bought into their success.
Well, that's great. That's really good. That becomes symbiotic, you know, where they're helping you grow and saying, here's how you can service not only us better, but future customers, which is better for the whole. Yeah,
right.
That's excellent. So can you think of a specific success story that you did some work for a client that really increased their loyalty, their customers' loyalty, their end users' loyalty?
Yeah, so we can't, we don't have anything that we track as far as data regarding that. Really, what we're able to see is the client outcomes we get for our clients. And then, for us, every successful project, is a victory, you know, and we're doing good and we feel good and we've done that. But as far as like results that we could track, we don't really have anything like that. As far as increasing loyalty.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't work specifically with any loyalty program people, like with the loyalty program personnel itself at a company. Most of the companies you're dealing with, I'm assuming, are small to medium sized businesses that are just either bricks and mortar or, like you mentioned, FBA through Amazon. They're selling e-commerce stuff.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So we're not, there's, you know, it, for the Amazon side of things, you know, there's no transparency from Amazon ever. But we're developing programs. I know that what you mean when you say loyalty program, and I understand that, but we don't work with any program specifically like that. We work with programs that increase loyalty, but don't have a direct correlation. You know, so I'll give you an example. Amazon Posts is something that Amazon launched. It's like a social media platform for Amazon. And one of the cool, unique things that they have is that you could track something called unique views, which is people who are being exposed to the brand for the very first time through these Amazon posts. And so we created a program to make creatives for that program for our clients. So if you have a product on Amazon, you can come to us and we can create these social media type posts. And the whole idea behind Amazon Posts is just like the storefront, which is meant to really kind of increase loyalty so that when somebody needs a shaving product, they don't go searching for a new one. They go searching for that brand on Amazon. Yeah. So it's in those kinds of situations that we're operating, on the loyalty programs like that.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying, because like I bought some lighting for underneath the bar. We just redid the kitchen a couple of months ago, and they came in and it was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted. And when I went and did another search for an area outside, I'm thinking, I don't want to go to another company and have to struggle and think about it. So I did exactly what you said. And I looked up the company itself that sold the product and found their store on Amazon and was able to order something different from them that was able to be on the 12 volt or 24 volt something outside, which is awesome. Yeah, I get it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so like a program like Amazon Posts is, you know, you start to show up on your competitors' listings and things like that. And so you that brand recognition builds up, you know, and now, you know, they're being reminded that this is their guy, you know?
Yeah. So I know you being that guy to those people, but what I wanted to ask though, just Ian, as a personal consumer yourself, I'm sure you shop and you travel, and what sort of brands are you loyal to and why?
I'm exceptionally loyal to brands. I talk about this with my wife all the time. When she married me, I had a garbage can that I had had forever, right? And like we had an argument about throwing out the garbage can because it was just, it worked, you know, like it's the stupidest thing. It's like our kitchen garbage can, but it was Simply Human, I think is the company, right? But they have this whole big, it's like a Dyson kind of company, right? Where like they have this whole shtick about, you know, things ought to work properly, you know, and yeah, it's well designed, you know, and it's perfect and trash bags that perfectly fit the can, you know. And she always wants to go with the cheapo Walmart stuff. So, you know, we had an argument about that, right? And so that's the kind of thing that I look for. Like for me personally, I don't have a very consumer mindset. I want to buy something one time, right? And then have it. And so I typically am more willing to spend a lot of money on something really good that I use forever, you know? And so, and we could pick, anything really, like Yeti mugs. I just bought those recently. I finally decided to buy into that idea, right? And so, but that was the idea. Like, that's why I decided to do it. It's like, okay, I just need this thing. I need it, you know, I want to buy it. I want it to work. I want it to be good. And I like Yeti because Yeti also actually says like on their packaging that this is over-engineered. And to me, I'm like, great, over-engineered. I love it. Yeah. Because I just want to buy this once.
Yeah.
So to me, yeah, that's the experience.
Yeah, and you don't have to do it again. You're right. So you think about how many times something is going to be used on a regular basis, you know, and you want to make sure that it's a quality product. And that's in and of itself, that's loyalty. You're loyal to a brand because, but on the downside, if it doesn't break, you're not going to buy another one. But they charge enough to make their margins, I'm assuming.
Well, and so that's a thing that I was actually just thinking about that with this brand Yeti, right? So they build these super over engineered products, right, that are really meant to last a lifetime. And there's actually another, without going off on a big tangent, there's a sock company that makes socks. They're like $25 a pair and they are literally guaranteed for life, right? But, and then the idea though is, you know, Yeti started out by making coolers, and I'm sure it didn't take them long to figure out that they have built a cooler that nobody will ever need to buy again. And so then they start making new products and they're servicing their clients in new ways. And they're finding, you know, so they're everywhere that a client that I'm going to say client all the time by accident, but customer, you know,
right,
everywhere their customer needs to be. And that's where that loyalty comes from. I would never in a million years buy a Yeti cooler until I had bought one of these mugs, right? So this mug was a $30 investment, right? And so now I get to experience their quality. I get to experience their over-engineered products. I get to experience what it's like to have a Yeti product. I tell you that I am 100 times more likely to buy a Yeti cooler now because of that mug. So by being the guy for keeping things hot and cold, you know, for me, they have done all the things that we talked about. They've expanded. They've been everywhere their customer needs to be, but then they're also creating these lower offers that get me into their more expensive offers.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because I think they've built a culture, and that happens a lot. I think people have a deep emotional connection to brands like Starbucks and Apple and things like that, where it's like a sense of belonging. When you have a Yeti, people see that you have a Yeti, and that must have some psychological reasoning behind it that people will continue. So as great as the product is with Apple and Starbucks, I don't drink coffee, but you know, I was in Las Vegas last week, and every time you go by a Starbucks, there's a line out the door. And I'm thinking, you know, people are paying $7 for a cup of coffee when coffee is coffee, but apparently it's not, right? But I think it's that sort of brand fit that I am a Starbucks drinker or I am a Yeti user, that people belong to those camps, and it's hard to undo that.
You know? Yeah.
So
tribalism,
yes,
is a word that we work into brands identities when we do branding work with our clients, where we talk about, okay, how do we feel about tribalism? Is this a tribal brand? Do you want to be a tribal brand? You know, And so that, and that changes the direction of a design, you know, instead, you know, if you want a logo that people are going to put on their shirts and hats and backpacks and keychains and all that stuff, it's a, you know, a different process a little bit. So yeah, that's something we talk about.
Yeah. I think the book Tribes or Tribe was written Malcolm Gladwell. Did he? I don't remember who did that. It was a good book though. I read the book a while back. I forget who wrote it. Another great book, and I've mentioned this a million times, Made to Stick. It's on a slight tangent, but it creates a connection with a story that people resonate with. You know, people don't remember numbers, but they'll remember stories. And at the beginning of the book, he starts off by telling an old wives' tale about the guy wakes up in a bathtub and he's got a note next to him, and he's saying, you know, he's got a tube protruding from his back. Someone harvested his kidney. He was on vacation in a hotel, but it was all false. But people have been telling that story for 100 years, seemingly. And it just keeps going on and on and on because people remember stories. So, you know, when you're creating a brand and you have a story behind the brand, like a Starbucks or like an Apple or like now Yeti, I think people, you know, identify with it and, like you said, become tribal with it. It's interesting. So what sort of actionable advice, Ian, could you give our listeners today that would help them attract and retain more customers?
Well, so when it comes to, so first of all, confidence to me is a key indicator of how successful you're going to be attracting customers. If we go back to your plumber story, I bet one of the things that you came away with was confidence, right? You know, you said this guy spent a few minutes on the phone basically building authority, right? That's what he was doing. He was convincing you that he was the guy that knew how to do the thing, you know, that you needed. Mm-hmm. And so if you can create that sense of authority and that feeling of confidence in your customers, they're way more likely to buy. In fact, lack of confidence is a serious conversion inhibitor, no matter what you're selling. And so, you know, from our perspective, the way that we help our clients improve that is by improving the way that they look. You know, attractiveness bias is a thing that's been studied pretty extensively in business, in all parts of life, right? But in business in particular, which is to say that things that are perceived as more beautiful are more successful, right? And so, you know, it's been studied in like people who are more attractive that go to job interviews tend to get the job more often, but businesses that look more attractive tend to win customers and clients more often as well. So to me, you know, if you can, whatever you can do to improve customer confidence and improve your authority is going to ultimately improve your ability to attract new customers and clients.
You guys do video as well with Graphic Rhythm?
Yeah, it's a new category for us because video is the wave of the future here. Mm-hmm. And so we have some beta video programs coming out that are in beta. And then we're getting ready to release some services to the general public.
Good stuff. Well, I think we might have to take this conversation offline for one of the businesses that I have. So we'll do that after we wrap it up. So, again, if listeners want to get a hold of you, Ian, what's the best way they can do that?
So the best way to get a hold of me is to go to graphicrhythm.com. We have a chat there, like a live chat on the site. You can also email support@graphicrhythm.com. I am typically one of the people behind the scenes answering on those channels. So that's how you should do it.
Awesome. All right. Well, I want to thank you again for taking your time out of your day to shed some light on the loyalty side of graphic design. And I want to thank our listeners for spending their time with us. If you feel you received value from the show, we would appreciate a 5-star review on your favorite podcast streaming service. If you know someone else who you think might enjoy listening to the show, please do share. That's how we grow. To listen to this and other Loyalty Minute episodes, please visit theloyaltyminute.com. Ian, thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for your next edition of the Loyalty Minute.